Coming up on the program, Marcia Buckley. She's our Chief Deputy District Attorney. Good morning, Marcia.
Good morning, Casey.
We're going to talk about the District Attorney. We're going to do DA 101 today for you. So without further ado, let's welcome Marcia Buckley.
It is fun and exciting to be here with you.
You are energetic. You're enthusiastic. And some of the talking points you and I have been working on for this interview, really what I'm discovering is just how many cases our district attorney works on. And it's just pretty phenomenal.
We get, and I checked it out because I knew you'd ask me, over 3,100 case referrals a year from the different law enforcement agencies in the county. Over 3,100.
It's just so many things to work through, so many details. Kind of put us in the fold of what you do, because we've got Rob, he's the DA, but our Chief Deputy District Attorney, you are sort of mitigating everything that's happening in that office. What's it like for you on a day-to-day basis?
Rob has joked with me before that I'm in charge of triage for the office, because I'm taking care of emergencies all day long, but I chair a couple different things that I'm really pleased and honored to do, and that would be, one would be the elder abuse multidisciplinary team, and I prosecute the elder abuse in the county. I also chair the sexual assault response team. There are, you know, a lot of sexual assaults as well. And my pet project, my baby, the one that I can't say enough about it, is mental health court. We have a whole lot of mentally ill people in this county that can't afford medication, that don't know where to go for treatment, and they keep getting arrested for crimes like disorderly conduct or trespassing or assaulting someone. And they just, you know, mental health court gives us a chance to get them the counseling, get them medicated, get them stabilized so they don't keep taking up the county's resources by getting arrested over and over again.
Mental health court is something that's been, is it fairly recent that you were able to get this established? I know it's been on your radar for a while.
About a year.
Mm-hmm.
A little over a year.
And what kind of results are you seeing so far?
Some of them are really phenomenal, and of course some are not. But it's the phenomenal results, you know, that linger in your mind. It's not going to help everyone. But we have people who have been in and out of the system, you know, for 20 years, and they go into mental health court, and they finally get the help they need. They're a priority for Lincoln County Mental Health, and we even have some funds to pay for the medication so they can't afford it. And they walk out of there with dignity, and they're able to take care of their own needs. They're not getting into trouble anymore, and they are so, so happy. Happy to be medicated, to be feeling right. I mean, it's amazing.
Marcia, when we look at your past history and where you are today with the district attorney's office, was there any particular events that made you, you know, passionate about the mental health court? Or, I mean, does your professional history lead up to this in any particular way?
I started out at Multnomah County years ago, and then I prosecuted for Dan Glode for about 5 years, and then had my own civil practice for about 12, and then came back as the chief deputy. But my civil practice dealt a lot with domestic relations. And I by my best calculations, I represented over 1,000 people in domestic relations cases,
wow,
which is a lot. And, you know, there are a lot of, you get to see mental illness sometimes, especially in custody battles, you know, representing difficult people. And I guess maybe that's what sparked my interest in it, when you see the need out there for help.
Did you always know that you wanted to be in the legal field?
I did, but you know, when I got out of, I don't tell this often, but when I got out of college, my first job was flying around closing failed banks. Which I guess got me used to the idea of people not liking me.
I don't know. You know, what is it about, you know, law? What is it about this that, you know, the pro and con, how do you navigate the complexity of it? And I'm sure, what's it like for a new DA to come in and learn the system?
They feel overwhelmed because we have more misdemeanor cases than felonies, and the entry-level deputy DA is going to be handling those misdemeanors. And that's a lot of paper coming in and out of that office. I feel particularly empathetic, I guess, for the folks that do domestic violence cases in our office. They have a tremendous volume of caseload, and yet you know, they try to keep up and they try to keep up. Those are really difficult cases to do. And in addition to that, they're trying other misdemeanors such as DUIs and criminal trespasses, misdemeanor thefts, and it's a whole lot of cases. Some of my deputies have up to 400 cases assigned to them at any given time.
You know, maybe before we drill into, you know, some of the particulars of types of cases or, you know, your kind of sub-departments, can you talk about there being this misconception that you guys are first responders? I mean, you're prosecutors, so...
We are so not first responders, because if we were the ones doing the investigation, we would become witnesses and we couldn't prosecute the case, because you can't try the case and be your own witness.
So there are times when people say, go arrest them.
Oh, yes. They'll come to our window and say, I want to make a report. And
yeah.
We're like, no. You have to talk to the law enforcement agency, you know, that is in the area where the crime happened. For example, City of Toledo does Toledo. City of Lincoln City handles Lincoln City, and Newport handles within the Newport city limits, and the sheriff's office takes over the rest of the county. But people also have this common misconception that they can press charges, and that's not how it works. We get police reports, and we make that decision, and people don't really get to, once we file a case, come in and say, okay, well, I'm done. No, it's our decision.
Lincoln County Connections on KCUP. We're talking to Marcia Buckley. She's the Chief Deputy District Attorney, and the mission of the Lincoln County District Attorney's Office means being committed to holding offenders accountable, providing services to victims of crime, using teamwork, leadership, and collaboration to make Lincoln County a safer and better place to live. Your mission, Marcia. When we walk into the county courthouse, you know, we're going to see victims assistance, child support enforcement, the DA's main office. How do these other departments fit in within your department?
We have an absolutely tremendous victims department. They offer assistance to folks who might need a restraining order. They help people fill out the forms to receive crime victims compensation. Crime victims compensation is a program where if you're the victim of a crime and you need counseling or medical treatment, they'll help you pay for that. We have, our victims department also works with people on coming up with the correct restitution numbers and provides them with information about the services they can obtain as a victim.
And that's critical, isn't it?
Oh, it is so
because
critical.
Because there were no victims advocates in the past, is that correct? At one point in time, nobody represented the victim.
Long, long ago, in a galaxy far, far away, no, there were not. But we're lucky. We have very, very good people, and we have had for a long time at the district attorney's office, even before we came in.
So when someone is a victim of crime, they're going to find services that are going to help them through it.
Absolutely, and they're caring, compassionate people. They're easily accessible, and they do a really good, thorough job. If someone doesn't want to go up to court, for example, because the person that did something to them is up there and there's a hearing, our victim's staff, one of them will go up there and sit with that person and offer them comfort.
Mm-hmm.
If a child is a victim of sex abuse, we have a victim's person go up and sit with them through the entire trial. I mean, you know, we provide them with that level of comfort, that level of knowledge. They need help, we're going to get it for them.
So when we think about crime in Lincoln County, where do the types of crimes rank, Marcia, in terms of the most common crimes?
We have a lot of property crimes that are related to drug use.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's frustrating to see folks steal, burglarize, and they do it to support a drug habit.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Bavette, our district attorney, has done just phenomenal, incredible things about curtailing the use of methamphetamine, the production of methamphetamine.
Right.
And that, I'm speaking for him. He's not here. I guess I can say what
I want.
Well,
it is pretty amazing.
I believe it's his
yeah.
passion, you know? I mean, we all have our different passions. And
it's key because you have said that drug and alcohol really is this fire that ignites all the problems.
Pervasive. You see it in domestic violence. You see it in burglaries. You see it in property crimes. There are a ton of drug crimes. You see it in sex abuse crimes. It's everywhere. And, you know, it's hard to watch because it's not something that people need to be doing.
You know, you mentioned victims assistance. There's also child support enforcement.
What
is their primary role?
We have two caseworkers who, again, great, great people. They do a wonderful job. And what they do is they help people establish paternity If it hasn't been established on a child, then they obtain support orders. And if you already have a support order from a divorce or another proceeding, they go ahead and they collect that support. And if you move here from another state and say your support order is from Hawaii, they'll register it here for you and collect that support.
Mm-hmm.
They do a great job, and it's a hard job. Because people sometimes, you know, they get mad. They say, why aren't you collecting my money?
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to collect it if the other person isn't working.
Yeah, restitution must be something that's kind of a complexity.
You know, we were talking yesterday, and you were asking me what I find, what frustrates me. And I stewed on it last night. And it's the restitution issue, because we can do everything right. We prosecute someone, it goes through the system promptly, we get an order for restitution based on what the victim has told us, everything's in place. But sometimes we have folks who have no intention of ever paying that restitution. They're never going to work in a job where we're going to be able to attach wages or where they can be expected to pay it. I mean, it's just, they're never going to pay it.
So, for example, you have the theft of your vehicle or damage to property. Even they have been found guilty, ordered to pay restitution. I mean, there's no recourse for an individual.
We follow it. We initiate probation violations. The person gets sanctioned. But it's the hard reality is you have some folks out there who are never going to pay that restitution, no matter what you do to them.
And for them, it just ends up being, you know, something that whatever is on their credit, or, you know, they're required by the courts, but
they're required by the courts. Eventually, these judgments get turned over to the Department of Revenue. They stay on the books, but they're not going to pay it.
Right.
And it's really hard to tell someone who's been a crime victim.
Yeah.
I know you have this judgment. We keep initiating these probation violations. And sometimes these people just disappear.
Marcia, walk us into your office. How many prosecutors, deputy DAs are there? And there's a staff of support staff, too, as well.
Well, Rob is the DA. I'm the chief deputy. And then we have 8 deputy district attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
They each have different specialties. I mean, we try to assign the cases fairly. And, for example, we have one deputy who's assigned to the Lincoln Interagency Narcotics Team, who handles the Lint Team drug cases. We have another deputy who does the street drug cases, non-Lint.
Yeah.
We have a deputy assigned to the juvenile crimes committed by folks under 18. We have a deputy who handles felony domestic violence. We have a deputy who does misdemeanor domestic violence. We have these different functions. And then I'm also assigned to the major crime team and the crash team.
Yeah, what are the specializations? Why are there the specializations and task force that you have?
Well, we have different multidisciplinary teams that we're required to have.
By statute?
Yes.
Okay.
And we have, for example, a multidisciplinary child abuse team. We have, as I indicated earlier, the sexual abuse, sexual assault response team.
Mm-hmm.
We have my elder abuse multidisciplinary team that I chair. These teams are composed of a representative from the district attorney's office, and then our partners. When I say partners, I mean the different law enforcement agencies throughout the county.
Mm-hmm.
Senior Services, for example, participates in the elder abuse. My Sister's Place participates in the sexual assault response team. We have different partners. DHS participates in the child abuse multidisciplinary team meetings.
And you have mental health court, but are there task force for the mental health
issues per se? There isn't. It's kind of an interesting deal. I'll get a call from either the person's defense attorney or one of my deputy DAs will come in and they'll say, hey, this person has some issues that we cannot possibly address with the traditional court system.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an opening? And then Dennis Buckmaster at Lincoln County Health and Human Services and I review it. He meets with the person, and then we decide if it's something we can work with, and then we talk to Judge Littlehales about it.
So this tremendous caseload you have, 3,100, did you say active cases?
3,100 cases come into our office each year for review.
And I thought you told me something interesting yesterday, which was you come in on Monday.
I do.
And there's could be a whole slew of new cases that just hit you guys. And how do you manage to keep it all under control?
Oh, it is hard. We have, this is a typical day in the DA's office. And it's not just a Monday. It can be any day of the week. But usually Mondays are the worst because you have all the crime that happens over the weekend. But we get in there on a Monday. We have four courtrooms. We have 3 judges and a referee. So I got to have an attorney in each courtroom. Well, that's 4, all right? Then we have to charge all the crimes that were committed the night before or the weekend before, if it's a Monday, by, say, 10:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So we pass those out, and we got to get the police reports in that go with them, review them, and make the charging decisions. We're also dealing with these multidisciplinary team meetings. We have folks that are in trial.
Yeah.
I mean, we are slammed every single day.
And I can tell, you know, you guys burn the midnight oil over there.
We do.
That's what it takes to prepare for court sometimes.
And it does.
So does your team, you know, run the risk of burnout sometimes? And how do you keep them fresh?
It is a stressful job, and I can't deny that. But, you know, we encourage folks to have interests outside the office.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage folks to enjoy their time off. I try not to bother people when they're taking their vacations or their days off.
Because of the nature of the work, they do need to unplug.
They do, and, you know, you can't let it, you can't be married to it 24 hours a day. You just can't. At some point, you have to be able to take a little break every now and then.
Marcia, I know there's so many areas of the department we could drill into. With 3 minutes left, I did want to say or ask you, that in regards to mental health courts, if somebody has a family member or a friend that may have mental health challenges, what do you recommend for them, you know, so that if they get into a situation with the district attorney, I mean, they're going to have some resources there when it comes to mental health court.
If you have someone in your family that you think has mental health issues, please, please, please engage with Lincoln County Mental Health and Human Services. I mean, Health and Human Services, their mental health department, Dennis Buckmaster, the folks down in South Beach. They can really provide counseling services. They can help people with medication. It's one of the most important agencies in the county, one of our most important partners. I really believe that.
And maybe before we close, you have volunteers. Pretty valuable part of what you're doing.
Absolutely. And we love volunteers. And the way to apply to volunteer at the Lincoln County District Attorney's Office is to call 541-265-4145 and ask for Jill Wagner, our office manager.
Okay. Jill Wagner. And also, I think that the website is a pretty good example of the services provided. And there's also a court calendar, link to the court calendar, so you can kind of navigate where you may need to be and what you may need to do. Any final thoughts, Marcia, before we probably should reschedule you to the program again?
Just that I'm so proud and honored to work with a team of such great folks who they're really dedicated people, and we do our best to keep the county safe, and we want to make sure we're doing things right. And if you have concerns, don't hesitate to call. Call me at the district attorney's office.
Okay. Thank you, Marcia Buckley. With 30 seconds left, I did want to remind everyone that if you want to learn more about the district attorney's office, you can go to the Lincoln County website as well for other resources of like what's new and the latest news and videos of commissioner meetings, all available to you online. Thank you, Marcia Buckley, for coming on the program. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week on Lincoln County Connections.